Thank you for downloading from Richmond First United Methodist. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org.
Morning. The scripture for today comes from first book of Psalms, the first psalm. And I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible, and it's a Bible that was given to me by Karen on Easter Sunday, 2007. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
There are a number of psalms and other scriptures, in fact, that compare our longing for God to the longing for water in the desert. The word desert doesn't actually appear in Psalm number 1, which we're going to be talking about today, but it is the country in which the psalm is written. It's the landscape that is the backdrop. We're in a series called Life in the Spirit, and we have been working together about the work of the Holy Spirit in ourselves and in the world around us. We started with the observation back some time ago that the work of the Holy Spirit biblically has always been to bring order out of chaos, and we looked at that in the creation story. We look at it all the way to the end of the Bible, and God's desire to renew the order in the world after the chaos that sin has brought into the beautiful world he created. We moved on to say that life in the Spirit is a life moving towards the renewal of God's original intent in our lives and in the world. In particular, for us, that the Holy Spirit at work in God's people brings unity out of diversity to create the body of Christ. Now, that's not just another nice aphorism for church. That's a description of who we are supposed to be, how we are supposed to be bound together, and why the body of Christ is that organism which gives hands and feet to Christ's work in the world. Last week we talked about how do I find my place in the body of Christ, and we said that the Holy Spirit uses whatever we bring to the table and surrender to God's service. So what do you bring with you? What skills do you have? What experience do you have? What have you finally honed in your life, maybe professionally or otherwise, that can be put to work for God? So this teaching has had a trajectory from the very beginning, pointing in a direction that may or may not make some of us uncomfortable. Life in the Spirit is not, as many of us have grown up thinking, an ecstatic experience that we have in church on Sunday morning. Life in the Spirit is a life surrendered to the work of renewing God's world. Now, there's a problem with that trajectory. It's hard, right? It's not easy. Following in love with Jesus is easy when we finally tumble to what he has done for us on the cross, when finally we recognize that through Christ's work, I'm reconnected to God. It's hard not to fall in love with Jesus. That's easy, as falling in love often is. As we celebrated earlier in the service, though, staying in love and remaining in covenant with each other takes hard work. Any of you who've been married 50 years want to give me an amen to that? Yeah, Don was afraid to, but we'll talk to him later. So it is. I mean, Kim and I are coming up on 40, and I'll tell you, it took some effort to get to 40. It wasn't all just wake up and everything's roses and beautiful. And the same is true in life in the Spirit. We don't just have the however deeply we may have fallen in love with Jesus, there are things that we need to do in our life to keep us in love with Jesus and to keep us moving in this life, because it's a demanding life. When you invest yourself in others and in change, when you try to make a difference in who you are and in what's going on in the lives of other people around you, there are times. I remember in one of my early congregations, there was a house next door to the church. Had been divided up into about four apartments, an old rundown place. I had struck up conversation with one of the families that was often sitting out on the porch of this house. And over time, they had eventually come to church and kind of, started taking place in the, taking part in the life of the church. And, so one Sunday morning I came in and a bunch of the church's sound equipment was gone. And the police came out and they said, "Now, you know that family that lives next door to you is no good." I said, "No, it wouldn't be them. It wouldn't be them. It was them." And I don't know how you would have felt. I was ready to quit. It's hard investing yourself in people who may or may not invest back or respond. Or maybe they respond for a while and then they fall off. It's hard work. Now, when marriage, by the way, is one of the symbols that the Scripture uses to talk about this relationship between us and God. But another image that is used in Scripture to talk about the work of the church, the work of God's people in renewing the world, is bearing fruit. a vine that bears fruit, a tree that bears fruit. And Psalm number one gives us this beautiful picture of a tree planted by rivers of water, is the way I learned it in the old King James. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, bringing forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall never wither, and whatever he does, it shall prosper. It's a beautiful picture. And the contrast at the other end of the psalm, if you didn't pick up on it as it was being read, is like the chaff that the wind blows away. So you've got this dry, husky stuff that's of no use to anyone anymore, that they are beating on the threshing floor, and as it drifts up into the air, it's blown away by the wind. And at the other end, you've got this tree who has roots right in the water. And the message of this psalm is to remind us that to be disciples who bear fruit, we have to stay rooted in the source of life. You cannot give away what you don't have. And when those hard times come, when you feel like giving up, you need to have roots that will nourish you and your spirit so that you can keep after the work. This thing that brings life in Psalm number one is, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, we've been conditioned in the modern church after centuries of Reformation preaching to think of the law as something that is old and mechanical and carved in stone. It's about commandments that don't really, that do nothing but restrain us, and it's the thing that Jesus came to remedy on the cross. But for the psalmist, that's not what the law was like at all. The law was a story more than it was a set of commandments. When the Old Testament authors speak of the Torah, or even modern Jews speak of the Torah, it's not so much the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots as the story of what God has been doing in the world. And as Christians, we believe that the climax of that story is in Jesus. On his law, he meditates day and night, it says. That word meditate, actually the Hebrew behind that is murmur. And the picture is this. Maybe you've seen in movies, or maybe even in larger cities, you've seen this yourself. The very devout Orthodox Jews, all dressed in black with the side locks, with their Torah in front of them as they go down, and they're actually speaking the words of Torah as they walk down the street, that under their breath sort of speaking of God's word. That's the image. Remaining rooted to the source of life is staying rooted in Jesus, staying rooted in the story that God is telling and that we are all a part of. And it needs to be that thing that you say under your breath. Now, let me confess, I'm not there yet. You know, I think I prepare some pretty nice things to say, but when I hit my thumb with a hammer or when I mutter something under my breath, it's not always, oh, praise you, Jesus. I was thinking about the Vitels. It's hard to believe they've been with us for over 4 years now, but I was thinking of Yuri when he first came to the United States. He, as far as I know, he only knew one phrase in English. Thank you, Jesus. It's the only thing I ever got out of him in English for about 2 months. Thank you, Jesus. He meditates on the story. He murmurs the story. It's what he says under his breath. When nobody else is listening, it's the words that escape his heart and tumble out of his lips. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. You know it. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. I have a heart rooted in that song, so that it's what tumbles out of our lips when nobody else is listening, so it's the first thought on waking. That's the goal here, to be rooted in the life-giving story of Jesus. There's just one problem with that. It's hard. It's a series of every day, every minute decisions. Now, are there things you can do? Yeah, there are things that you can do that invest in this relationship that you have with God, just like there are things you can do to invest in the relationship you have with your spouse, right? But it's hard. And the psalmist knew this, because look, this is not his picture. This is our picture. This is what we think of when we think tree by a planted by rivers of water. That's a sycamore somewhere in Appalachia, I'll just about guarantee you. Okay? Here's the picture the psalmist saw. He saw a tree that somehow was thriving in a dry and arid land, which was the homeland of his people. We're going to come back to this image a little bit later on. But this tree doesn't just have roots that lay across the top. This is a tree that has roots that need to go down deep into the rocks and nooks and crannies where water might be hidden away. It's hard. So what are some of the things that we can do? Well, let me ask you this. What are the things that we do to invest in our relationships with each other? The hardest one when I was young was the first one. Talk to her, stupid. Go talk to her. I remember my friends pushing me, go talk to her. Right? Pray. Prayer. Talking to God. And when I finally got out the nerve to talk to her, it took me about 20 years more to learn to listen to her. Also, prayer. A prayer that's all about talking and not about listening is not building relationship. Spend time together. That's worship. Spend time in the presence of God. And this can be private worship, yes, but public worship too. I mean, sometimes I need your faith to keep me going. You know, I was talking about listening to her. Figure out what's important, right? Listen until you hear what's important. In a relationship with God, for me, this happens through Scripture. Now, we can engage this in all kinds of ways. I still open up the good old-fashioned paper Bible on my desk and take notes, but some of us engage Scripture by coming here on Sunday morning and hoping that the pastor brings something. And some of us go to Sunday school and engage Scripture. And some of us listen on audio. And it's but listening to that tried and true representation of what God is all about in the world. Figure out what's important. And then finally, you know, do meaningful things together. Fellas, when you find out what's important to her, then do it. There are story after story after story of people whose fire for Jesus has found new life when they just get up and start doing what they know they're supposed to do. There are people who have only come into relationship with Jesus because they were going about the business of doing what they were supposed to do, and they found Jesus there. So these are all things that we can do to invest in relationship and hope that our roots grow deeper. But there's another question, isn't there? And that is, how do I know that I'm in sync with Jesus? How do I know that I'm rooted in these good places? We've been talking about the body of Christ in this series, and we've discovered that there are our core values to the body of Christ. If you're wondering, you know, where am I in my relationship with somebody, ask yourself, you know, do we have the same values? And if the answer is no, for heaven's sake, don't stop. Talk, spend time together, you know, go back to the basics. I think that's hopefully what we'll be discovering together as a church and as a denomination, God willing, as a nation in the weeks and months and years ahead, is just the value of not giving up on each other because we happen to disagree, but go back and start the conversation over again. Be committed enough to each other to not quit for a sign of trouble. It's true in our relationship with Jesus as well. We've talked about his common values. The psalmist knew all of these for the common good. You know, the one that starts, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like the dew on the mountains of Hermon. It's like oil running down the beard of Aaron. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's Psalm number 2, actually. I don't know if you've read. And wait, this is interesting to me. It may be boring to you, but I'm going to do it real quick. Psalm number 1 and Psalm number 2 don't have a title in between. It looks like they originally intended to be read together here at the beginning of the book of Psalms to set the stage for everything that comes after it. And Psalm number 2 has the line is in it, you need to embrace the King that God has given you. And that's Jesus Christ in our tradition. The greatest of these is love. His steadfast love endures forever is the most oft repeated line in the entire book of Psalms. If these are our core values, then we are walking in step with Jesus. If they are not, then we need to revisit the basics of prayer and scripture and worship and service until we begin to have a heart that beats right along with his. There's a danger here, though, in that, you know, in this beautiful relationship, it becomes a relationship for its own sake. And that's beautiful. But God's got a plan for his covenant with us and his relationship with us, and it's the renewal of the world. Stay rooted to bear fruit. Stay rooted to be a part of what God's doing in the world. There's more to the imagery of Psalm number 1 than that. I want to show you this picture. In Hebrew, the word for what you're looking at is wadi or pelek. It means chasm or canyon or rift. It's also the word that the psalmist uses to talk about where this tree is planted. Because this particular canyon is dry about 350 out of 365 days every year, except when it's not. And when the rains come up in the mountains, this canyon will fill up. People have died hiking up these canyons when the floodwaters come on so suddenly that they can't get out. And then the rain passes and the water settles, and it settles in between the rocks and it settles down into the ground, into the subterranean little pockets and things, and it looks like this. But that water is still there somewhere. down beneath the surface, and the trees and the plants find it. And you probably can't see, I know that she's there, or I couldn't see her either, but there is a wee little figure at the base of that tree. There is a hiker out in the desert. Now, she's come to this tree for two things. One is shade, because the sun is hot. And the other is, if there is a tree, there must be water. It might be down deep, it might be under a rock, it might be in a pocket somewhere, but there must be water. We stay rooted to bear fruit. We also stay rooted to bear witness. Could someone looking at my life know that I was rooted? Could someone looking at my life knew that I understood where the source of life and strength really was? Could someone looking at my life say, there is something there that I am drawn to and that I need? He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Not only does he bear fruit in season, but he bears witness to all those who travel in a dry and parched land. Here is life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say.
To hear more sermons, find out more about us, and see what's going on in our community, visit us online at www.richmondfumc.org. This has been Richmond First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.